It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in Barcelona. Santiago Domingo is a portfolio manager at Solventis Asset Management. He's the co-investment manager of Solventis EOS Fund since February 2017. Solventis EOS is a long-only European equity fund founded in 2006 and focused on investing in companies with sustainable competitive advantages and that are undervalued by the market. Prior to Solventis, Santiago worked as an analyst for a startup called Oral Surgery Tube and in Endesa's financial department. Santiago holds a bachelor's degree in finance and accounting from the University of Zaragoza and a master's degree in institutions and financial markets from CUNEF. On behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome back to you, Santiago. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure to be here again with you and with all the community members. I really appreciate this opportunity and I hope to do a lot of more times. First, I would like to present a bit more what is Solventis. Solventis is a financial boutique based here in Barcelona, but with offices also in Madrid and Vigo. We have four departments. The first department is corporate finance, where we do M&A, MPOs, and so on and so forth. The second one is risk consulting, where we measure the risk of a lot of banks. The third one is real estate, and the fourth one where I work for is asset management. Here we have several kinds of funds. The fund that I run is the European Equity Fund. Here in this slide, what I try to show to all of you is what we look for in Solventis EOS. What is our investment philosophy? We look for understandable business. We look for long-term business that are easy to see in the coming years, 5-10 years. We look for companies with some kind of moats, as Warren Buffett says, that protect us from the competitors. We look for companies that create value, that generate cash. This cash grows and it does a very good returns. And obviously, we look for companies that are undervalued by the market. And we try to do with the best. We try to do with the best founders, the best managers. At the end of the day, that we have skin in the game, all of us. And here, I would like to share with you, John, a guessing. I say that the most common tree in Portugal is the eucalyptus. And I would like to ask to you if you know what's the national tree in Portugal.
I do not know that.
Yeah, I guess. Well, the national, probably if I ask to you about the Swiss national tree, you probably know that. But the national tree in Portugal is the cork oak tree. And you know, what is extracted from the cork oak is cork. And I would like to share with all the community members how the cork is extracted. Well, as you saw, it's a very manual process that it didn't change a lot in the last centuries. But this cork by itself has a limited value. And it's a company that we are going to present to you today what transformed this cork in value-added products. And all the process begins here. The first step is to take all this cork and deposit in a warehouse during at least 6 months to reach the good conditions of moisture and so on and so forth. The second phase is a first classification. Normally, the cork is classified or sorted because of the thickness of the cork. I mean, because of the quality of the cork. It's important to say that the cork is not paid by quantity, but by quality. And the quality is related to the thickness. Next, you have to boil down all this cork to eliminate all the bad things that the cork has. After some days, we can extract the cork stoppers, as we did, as we see here. Afterwards, we will do it X-ray proof to this cork stopper to see that it's fine, the quality measures, and so on and so forth. And finally, we will put ink in the cork stopper. The company that we are going to present to you today is Corticeira Morim. Corticeira Morim, it's a Portuguese company. We can say that it's a company made for cork. It's a company with 150 years of history. This is very, very important because you have a lot of agreements, many relationships with your providers since a lot of time ago, and also with your clients. It's run by the best management. We think the Amorim family has demonstrated that it's the best in the cork industry. Right now, Antonio Amorim represents the fourth generation of this family, and they have around 60% of the capital. Is the market leader with around 40% in the cork stopper side. It's a company with low financial leverage, around 1x net debt EBITDA, and it's a company that is so focused on efficiency. They are always trying to achieve more product with less raw material. Now we are going to so use some of the characteristic of the cork. The cork oak, it's a very special tree because it doesn't grow all over the world. It only grows in the Mediterranean climate. And Portugal and Spain represents more or less around 80% of the annual cork production. The Mediterranean climate is very, very interesting for this tree because the temperature is between -5 and 40 Celsius degrees. The rainfall is between 400 liters per square meter per year and 800 liters per square meter per year. It's important to say that the cork oak tree, it's a tree that is so resistant to the fire and to the plagues. Another characteristic of the supply is that it lasts to grow. It's complicated to see grow a cork oak because from the first seed to the first harvest, it's more or less with around 25 years. And this first extraction, it doesn't serve for doing cork stopper. It serves for another things. And the second harvest takes around 9 years. This second harvest doesn't serve neither for cork stoppers. It's the third harvest when the cork oak has the enough thickness to do with that cork stoppers. We can say that from the first seed to the cork stopper, it is around 43 years. Therefore, we can say that the cork stopper that we are extracting today from a wine bottle was planted in 1976, quite a long time. Another important thing about cork are all those benefits, because it's a light material, over 50% of the material is air. As I said, it's so resistant to the fire. It is we can say there are a lot of biodiversity around the cork oak trees, and there are a lot of endangered species living there. It's a habitat for all of them. We can talk about the natural touch of the cork. The natural texture of cork combines softness, flexibility to the touch, with with a natural uneven surface. And it's environmental safe. For us, this is very important because the cork oak tree absorbs CO2. We can say that all the cork oak trees all over the world absorbs like 6 million cars, more or less, per year. This is very interesting, and this is so different to other trees. But we talk about the cork stoppers, but there are other kind of alternatives, the screw caps and the synthetic or plastic closures. It's true that the cork stopper has an intangible benefit, that is this distinctive pop sound when a cork is sealed from a wine bottle, right? But we have another alternatives. The screw cap is a very good alternative, but the problem is that it's so hermetic, and all of them know that the wine needs to breathe a bit. And in the case of synthetic closures, what we see is that there are a lot of air migration. It's true that the price of a screw cap or synthetic closure seems to be a bit less expensive. We can say that more or less synthetic closures costs around 2 cents and 20 cents, and screw caps between 4 or 5 cents to 40 cents. And it's true that the best cork stopper, that is the natural one, it costs between 20 cents and 3 euros. But the company that I am sharing with you today is not a company that only does one kind or one sort of cork stoppers. They do a lot of them. And I share with you only 4 of them here, but you probably will be amazed to see all the cork stoppers that they do. The first one is true, is the natural is the most expensive one, is the perfect, because it's 100% cork oak, and it costs between 20 cents and 3 euros. The second one is the colmated, that is an imperfect natural cork stopper whose pores are sealed with a mixture of glue and so on and so forth. The third one is a very interesting one, is a technical twin top, is made of a body of agglomerate cork. Agglomerate cork is a granulated cork, and on the streams we have 2 discs of natural cork. And it more or less costs between 7 and 8 cents. And finally, we have the agglomerated one that, as I explained recently, it's made of granules and additives. It only costs between 3 and 5 cents. And what we can see and what we can say here is that it is a cork stopper that is so useful for all that wines that are going to be consumed in between 6 and 12 months. But Corticeira is not alone. Even though they are the leader with a 40% more or less of market share, there is another company, it's a very interesting company, that is Oinio, this French company, not only does cork stoppers, but also other winery stuff. I am going to deepen a bit more here. I am going to meet them in the coming days, and it's a very interesting company, also familiar, and I recommend to you to take a look. The other players are so small and inefficient, and here what we can see is room for consolidation in the cork stopper industry. I also include the plastic as one of its main competitors because after talking with the CEO, with Antonio Morim, what he said to us is he is not going only to take share or to gain share to the other cork industry players, but also to the plastic industry because the benefits of the cork are much higher than the plastic ones. The demand is so easy to see in the cork stopper industry is so related to the wine consumption evolution. What we see here is in terms of volume, and as you can see in the image, it grows between 0 and 0.5% per year in terms of volume. But what you can see here is the price, and the price is increasing between 1 and 1.5% per year. Therefore, in terms of value, we can say that the wine consumption evolution is around between 1 and 2%. And it's so interesting that the price increases more than the volume because what we see here is that the people prefers wines with more quality, and those wines are probably to have more cork stoppers than screw caps or plastic closures. This kind of premiumization is very good for Cordillera Morin. And what we see also in the image is that countries such as United States or China are taking the helm in the wine consumption evolution right now. But Cordillera Morin is not only cork stoppers. If we see the image, what we see is that all the raw material that is not used to manufacture cork stopper goes to this place, and it is used for other things, as I will explain now. The other business units are floor and walls coverings, composite cork, and insulation cork. And here I would like to highlight that in the cork industry, all is useful. And when I say all is all, Cordillera doesn't leave apart anything. Even the cork dust is used to do biomass energy. We can say more or less that Cordillera energy, around 60% of it, is done by this cork dust. Let's go to floor and walls coverings. Here I would like to share with you the three factors that normally people take into account when they choose one floor or another floor. The first is in terms of visual. It's right that the cork floor is not the best in terms of visuality, but Cordillera knows that. And what they do is offer a wide range of coverings, boudoir and wherever. Therefore, at the end of the day, what you have is a cork floor, but with a wood covering, for example. The second factor is price. The cork floor is a bit less expensive than a good wood floor, but it's a bit more expensive than the cheapest laminates, the most economical laminates. And the third factor where Cordillera is the best is the technical factor, because it's so efficient in terms of energy. It's so silent, around 50% more silent than the wood floor. It's very good for walking, and it absorbs very good the impacts. What we see in this segment is a segment that represents around 14% of the sales, but only 2% of the EBITDA. And this is something that is conjunctural, because they had some problems the last 2 years. Two problems. The first one it's a problem with distributors in the US and Russia that is already solved. And the second one was that its main cork floor, that is the Wise one, it didn't work very well with radiating cable, you know? And most of its sales are in Scandinavia. Therefore, they had to solve it. It is already solved, and we will see the turnaround of this business in 2020. Afterwards, we have the composite cork. Here, this segment represents 13% of the sales and 8% of the EBITDA. And it's clear that it's the most innovative part, probably, of all Cordillera Morin, because composite cork, at the end of the day, is cork that is granulated and is used for a lot of things. For example, for doing a pair of sandals, or it is used also on the field, on the pitch, because it absorbs very well the shocks that, for example, a football player has when they drop to the floor, to the field. And it is used also in aerospace stuff, because, as I said, cork is a material that is so resistant to the fire. And more or less, it only burns after, I think, 1,000 Celsius degrees. Therefore, it is used, for example, to do the covering of the fuel tanks in all these rockets. They work since a lot of time with the NASA, the ESA, and all those institutions. We have the cork insulation that is not a very important segment for Cordillera, but for me, it's the summon of Cordillera, because the insulation cord, the spanning insulation cord, is derived from the upper branches of the cork oak tree. And this is incredible because the cork oak is used by all the ways, and you are going to use all the raw material. But what we see here is that Corticeira is a company that has tradition, has innovation, all in the same umbrella. But is it really cheap? We think it is. And it is for two reasons mainly. The first reason is because it's a small company. It's not barely, it's not very known beyond our frontiers in Spain and Portugal. It's only covered by 6 local brokers. It's so illiquid, around 500,000 euros per day. And it's true that it's not very common company. And the second one, and I think it's most important, is because it offered an opportunity of entry the last year. And I'm going to explain to you very quickly. In 2018, the cork oaks that were harvested, the last time that were harvested was 9 years ago, that as I explained to you, because the harvest in the cork oak is each 9 years. Therefore, if we can move from 2000, what we saw in 2018 was an increase of the prices of around 20% and a decrease in volumes. And why did it happen? Then we moved to 2009, that it was the last time that those cork oaks were harvested. And what we saw is that the demand was so low because we were in a financial crisis. Therefore, the decision that that took the cork oak owners was that they were unwilling to take the cork of the trees due to the low prices of that year. Therefore, they didn't harvest all the cork oaks. They only harvested around 60% or 70% of the forest. Therefore, 9 years later, the cork oaks that can be harvested are only the 60-70%. But the demand is so good. Therefore, we have a lack of supply and the prices went up. This is the main raw material for Cordillera Morim. They could to pass through around 50% of the effect to the clients, but they know that it's something conjunctural because this year, 2019, what we are seeing as the core prices are decreasing, and they will decrease more and more in the coming years, and the effect will smooth over the coming years. Therefore, this effect of high raw materials is conjunctural and is natural. And I think it offered a unique opportunity to take some shares in Corticeira at good prices. And moving to the valuation, what we see here is that we did an estimation of the sales. We think that Corticeira is going to grow between 3 and 3.5% per year, all organic growth, and it's so easy to see. Because as I explained before, the wine consumption volume is around between 0 and 0.5% per year of increase, and prices between 1 and 1.5% of increase per year. This primarization is very good for Corticeira because they are going to gain share to other kinds of stoppers. Moreover, the cork adoption is year after year more and more, because what we see right now is that more kind of wines, spirits are adopting cork. Moreover, you have another applications that it's a huge field to innovate, and therefore we see more growth there. But at the end of the day, what they are going to grow is similar to a GDP. If we took a look, when we took a look to the last years, we saw that they are growing at 5-6%. But we prefer to be a bit more conservative. We are not taking into account any kind of inorganic growth or M&A. They did something in the past. They did very well. They are very disciplined in that matter, and this is another upside that we don't take into account in this valuation. In terms of margin, what we see is a huge improvement. You can see it's around 4 points in only 5 years. But as I explained before, in 2018, you had the margin so depressed because these core prices that were so high. If we normalize these core prices, what we would see, it's a margin EBITDA in 2018 of around 20%. And this is going to happen, and we will see it. Therefore, the improvement is from 20% to 21.5%. And here, this improvement is going to come from the Cork floors that, as I said, it had several problems that they solve, and we will reap the benefits in the coming years. The digestion of one of the latest acquisitions, Buracet, that right now have dilutive margins, but it will improve in the coming years. And because of the automatization, I visited one of the plants of Corticeira in May this year, and what I saw was a production line with people working and other production lines with robots. All the growth that they are experimenting right now, it's coming from those robots. Therefore, here you have a room for improvement in terms of profitability, because one robot does around 35,000 cork stoppers in 8 hours, and a man, for example, does around 14,000 cork stoppers in 8 hours, and the robots can work 24 hours per day. Therefore, what we see here, it's room for improvement. Therefore, we deduct depreciation, financial cost. As I said, the leverage is so low, and taxes, minorities, and so on and so forth. At the end of the day, what we have is a normalized net profit of around 112 million euro. We multiply this by a PE of 15 times. I think 15 times is a fair multiple. We see, for example, Oinio, that is the competence that right now is floating at around 18 to 20 times. Corticeira is the number one in the sector. It has competitive advantage. They have also agreements with all the Corco owners, with the clients. A multi-brand strategy is familiar, is well run. They are so disciplined. The financial leverage is so low. Therefore, we think there are enough arguments or reasons to think that 15 times is fair. Afterwards, we add the free cash flow, the interim free cash flow that they are going to generate in the coming years. They normally distribute around 3% of dividend yield. And the equity value of this company would be around 2,000 million euro. And this is a margin of safety of around 60%. And finally, I would like to ask you to back to basics, this very good sentence. Because as I said about what are the business that Solventi CEOs look for, it was understandable businesses, and the cork industry is so understandable. Long-term business, you know, 43 years from the first seed to the first cork stopper, 150 years of history in the case of Corticeira, 150 years of agreements with Corco owners. Competitive advantage, they are the leaders, therefore they are the forefront runners. They decide what is the technology that they are going to use, and they have the most automatized line productions in all the cork industry. It's a company that generates cash. This cash grows, and it does at good returns, between 12 and 14% of return on capital employed, more or less. It's a company that, in our view, is so undervalued, because one of the reasons is the 2018 that was a bad year in terms of margin. And it's a company that we think is the best run in the industry, because at the end of the day, we can say that the Amorim family is the king in the cork industry. Thank you very much.
Santiago, thank you so much for this wonderful presentation on what looks like a really interesting business. Perhaps a question from me on, we can just start maybe with the market shares of natural cork versus the alternatives that you showed on a slide, where basically the natural cork has not lost market share. How do you see that evolving in the future? Do you think Screwcap, for example, has basically plateaued and that it's not really a threat?
It's interesting. Here, what we see, as you said, is the cork as a general versus a screw cap and plastic closures. What we see clearly is that the plastic is going down and down and down. Why? Because it's not environmentally safe. We have another cork stoppers that are as cheap as them. For example, the agglomerated one. And it's true that Corticeira and other players are taking share or gaining share from the plastic. On the other hand, it's true that the screw cap is a good closure also because it's in terms of quality and price very good. It is very used in New Zealand, Australia, and so on and so forth. But when you take a look to those countries, you see that most of its customers are Chinese because they are so close to Australia. And what the Chinese are claiming to them or are asking to them is natural cork stopper, because natural cork stopper is related to quality. And in the case of China, what we see is enormous growth, and probably we think the screw cap is going to flat in the coming years, and all those players that were using a screw cap, they are going to use a bit more the cork stoppers. But if I have to take a look to the future, I mean probably 10 years, I think the two alternatives will be cork stopper and a screw cap. Plastic probably will be disappear.
And somewhat related, do you have a view on the market share of wine, let's say within the alcoholic beverage category over time?
Yeah, here, if we go here, what we see is that the wine is not the most important one, I think, and I am thinking because I read it, wine industry is probably, no, I will say in another way, spirits, I think the market of spirits is five times the wine one, because more or less around 40 billion of spirits bottles are closed each year, but only 1 billion is the addressable market of cork. Right now, Corticeira is selling around 300 million closures of cork per year to the spirits industry. For example, gin or vodka, they are not suitable for cork, but there are others like brandy and whatever that they can use cork. Therefore, what we can say is that the spirits market is much higher than the wine market, and it's much higher in terms of volume and in terms, obviously, of price. Here we see an important opportunity because if you take a good slice of market share in this addressable market, you are going to improve it. And it's so interesting, this matter that you mentioned, John, because recently Corticeira bought a company called Vinolock, that what they do are special closures. They use, for example, cork, but instead of have a tap of plastic, they have a tap of glass, they have a tap or more luxury thing that we normally see in spirits stuff. Therefore, what we see in the Corticeira strategy is to expand the cork as much as possible.
Another question in terms of geographic competition, perhaps long term. Are there other parts of the world that could compete in terms of cork production over time? Perhaps Latin America or.
It's an interesting question. It's true that as far as I know, Mediterranean basin, we can say Mediterranean climate is the best for the cork. We didn't see any kind of other plantations in other part of the world, but even though these plantations will could come, it's very important to say that it more or less the process is around 40 years, as I said. Therefore, we will see in the coming decades. And for Corticeira, probably it's not bad at all, because if you have more cork available, what Corticeira does is transform this cork in value-added products of cork. Therefore, if you have more supply available, probably your raw materials are going down, and therefore you can get better margins. Because it's important to mention here that Corticeira doesn't have the cork oak. The cork oak is from families and so on and so forth. Because first of all, the agriculture return is much lower than the industrial one, as Corticeira is, and it's some kind of emotional here in Spain or Portugal, because the agriculture, as you said in the video, they are not looking for improve a lot the way that they get or extract the core to get better returns. It's not true. Well, it's more emotional thing that they do with the family, with the neighbors, and so on and so forth. Therefore, what we see here is that, as far as we know, nobody is trying to plant more cork oak beyond Portugal, Spain, France, Italy, Tunisia, Morocco, and Algeria.
Could you talk a little bit more about the family behind the company, the Amorim family?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Amorim family, it's a very important family in Portugal. The fortune that they have is around 4 billion. They are in the Forbes magazine, and it is the fourth generation. For me, it's so important to see here, because we had the first generation that was the creation of Corticeira Amorim. Afterwards, we had the second generation that they strengthened the company. Afterwards, we had the third generation that was so important, Americo Amorim, what was denominated the Cork King, because he expanded Corticeira beyond the Portuguese and Spanish frontiers. And right now we have Antonio Amorim, that is the fourth generation, and they are the transformers, we can say in that way, of the cork industry, because they are innovating, they are facing problems, they are facing new challenges, but they are always taking the helm, and they are always to expand the cork beyond all the frontiers, because for them the cork is the, how to say, is the gold of his industry, and they try to do as much applications or as many applications as possible with it. I met Antonio Morim and Cristina Morim, CEO and CFO of Corticeira, and we can say that they grew in the cork plants. They grew with its father and mother that were in the plants, and therefore they are not the typical bosses that are in very good headquarters. No, they are always traveling, and they are always taking a look to its plants or manufacturing plants to improve all the things that that are happening in those facilities.
Could you talk a little bit more about capital allocation, especially in light of the fact that the shares do seem undervalued? What could the company do to try to take advantage of that? And are you happy with how they're allocating capital?
Mm-hmm. Well, here what we have, first of all, is that they try to invest more and more in the business. They try to gain share to other players, and most of them inefficient. They are trying to gain share to screw caps and plastic. Therefore, they are investing money in its business. Second one is M&A. It's true that they are the first player by far in all the segments. In cork stoppers, they have 40% of market shares. In cork floors, walls, and coverings, it's around 60%. In composite, 60%. Insulation, 60%. Therefore, it's true that the room for M&A is limited, but there is a bit room in obviously more in cork stoppers. They have a so interesting dividend policy that is quite stable. Now it's around 3% dividend yield, and they are not thinking about repurchasing shares because, as I said, it's a so illiquid stock. They are trying to be a bit more liquid, but they don't want to sell any slice of its share. They did a bit in the past months. But in summary, what we can say that the first is investing more in Cork, more in increasing its production lines to fulfill the demand. Second, M&A if it's possible, but it's true that it's limited and so small. And third, search with the shareholders through dividends, all the money that they generate.
In terms of your thesis playing out over time, what would be some of the key data points that we could keep an eye on to gauge how this is evolving?
First of all, we have to take a look to the harvesting. It's very important because one of my key points in my evaluation were, as I explained to you, the improvement in the margin. Therefore, to see this improvement in the margin, is necessary that the harvesting of 2019 and 2020 will be good, because if it will be good, the core prices will be down, and therefore the raw material that Corticeira uses will be down, and therefore your margins will improve. The harvesting in 2019 was good, but it wasn't as good as they thought, because the volumes increased 10% and the prices went down around 6%, but they expected more growth in terms of volume and more decrease in terms of prices. And why did it happen? Because the weather in Spain and Portugal during this summer was a bit abnormal, we can say in that way, because June was a bit more cold than expected, and the harvesting season goes from May to September. Therefore, here we had some kind of problem, but it's true that in 2020 we have to wait, but it's more or less sure that the price will be down and the volumes will be up, because, as I said, it's so complicated that a plague or a fire affect very much to the cork. Therefore, one of the data points we can say that is the harvesting seasons. Another data point for me is the turnaround of the floor and walls coverings segment, because, as I said, they had some problems, specific problems, all of them already solved. And we have to see in the coming quarters that it is an improvement there, because it's a dilutive margin compared to the group. And if they are able to recover this part, we think we can see a big improvement there. And last, we can say that the automatization. What I saw, John, is that the EBIT per employee improved a lot in the last 15 years. Probably it's three times higher, the EBIT per employee, than 15 years ago. We have to see that this trend continues, because this means that automatization and the robots are taking the helm and are taking or gaining share to people. And therefore, this means that you are more productive than you were in the past.
Wonderful. Well, Santiago, I will leave it there. I would just encourage our members to feel free to follow up with you with their own thoughts or questions. Thank you so much for being here and taking the time to share this idea and your analysis with our members. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure. Thank you. Have a day.
You too. Goodbye for now.